And one of the issues with studying through Proverbs is we start to see this clear distinction in worldviews. And we've talked about that quite a bit. We're going to continue talking about worldviews. I'm not going to get too into the different types of worldviews and talking about those different worldviews, but we do see different worldviews at play. And one of the problems with that is we all have a bent, we all have a tendency towards legalism. We just spent an entire year going through growing in grace, and we talked about legalism. And we even talked about how we're all recovering legalists, meaning we all have this, we all at one point in our lives based our value off of what we did. And we compared with other people to gain better, thinking we could gain more value. Or if someone was better than us, we might feel shame. And we spent an entire year debunking that system. But we all felt that system at some point in our life, so we're recovering from that system. And what do you do when you're in recovery? Sometimes you go back to the old system. So we're all recovering legalists. We all struggle with this bent towards legalism. We all struggle with a value, a works-based value system, meaning you're only as valuable as your works. And for each person, that work might look differently. For Christians, oftentimes those works look like the correct theology, ideology, philosophy, or worldview. And so what happens as we study the Proverbs and we look at these distinct worldviews is that we become legalistic in our worldview. And what I mean by that is we see it clearly here that there are different worldviews. We see the biblical worldview, and we start to think that because we believe in a biblical worldview, we're more valuable in God's sight. I don't know if you've struggled with that, but especially during these crazy times that we're living in. It's so easy to look at someone with a secular worldview and think, I'm better than that person. I have a better worldview. I'm more knowledgeable. The way, if that person would just listen to my worldview, if those people would just listen to our worldview, and we begin to puff ourselves up. Now that's an issue that we need to bring up, but that doesn't mean we should stop studying Proverbs, right? We just need to recognize that in ourselves. And so as we continue to study through the Proverbs, I want us to think about that. And how do we battle legalism? Well, we keep the focus off of us and on Christ. We keep the focus off of us and the focus on Christ. And as we focus in on Christ, we realize that it doesn't matter if we have the perfect worldview. What matters is Christ and what he did on the cross for us. And so let's think about that as we continue to study. Turn with me, if you will, Proverbs 1. We're going to finish Proverbs 1 up today. So we're going to go 20 all the way through 33. And I want us to think about Christ and his grace as we study through this. I'll read through it and then we'll dig in. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the market she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So we've been going through the Proverbs. We started into Proverbs, and the Proverbs is a book of wisdom. A proverb simply is a short, pithy saying, meaning it packs a powerful punch. It's typically short. It packs a powerful punch that can give you guidelines on how to live. Now, the first 9 chapters aren't your typical proverb. Your first 9 chapters kind of make an argument for wisdom, why you need to live with wisdom. And so last week we looked at there are 3 different paths you can take. And the first path that was introduced in the Proverbs is the evil path. That there are evil people, people that run towards evil, people that do not care about doing good, do not care about God's moral law, do not want to follow that law. They just want to follow evil. And they will entice you. They want to bring you along. This week, we're introduced to a character. This character is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom will be reoccurring through the first 9 chapters. She will identify herself as a lady. So we don't need to question her gender. She identifies for us. But she is Lady Wisdom. Here she is going to... She's going to call out. She's crying out. It actually says, we'll go back to verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the inn, or at the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So there's 4 places that we see that she speaks. The street, the market, the noisy street, and the entrance of the city gate. And what we can note here is that she speaks in all aspects of life. She speaks in the mundane aspects of life and in the most profound aspects of life. Wisdom is calling out to you in every aspect of your life. When you're walking along on the street, wisdom is calling out to you. And there are ways in which you can walk on the street with wisdom, even in the most profound aspects. So the city gate here, what would happen at the city gate is that's where the elders would meet, and oftentimes that's where trials would occur. If someone was accused of something, they'd take them to the city gate, and there would be a trial held. And judgments were made at the city gate. And so this reference to city gate means that she's crying out in all aspects of our life, from the courthouse to the street. She's crying out. And not only is she just speaking, but she's crying aloud. She's raising her voice. She's calling to you to answer. Lady Wisdom wants you to be wise. But you'll also notice that she's calling out in the market and the noisy streets, and people are not answering. They're ignoring her. It's a universal call. It's a call to everyone. Everyone can have wisdom. But the audience goes about their daily life without answering. And here's what she calls. Oh, how long, simple ones, will you love being simple? How long, scoffers, delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? And so here she's calling out to 3 types of fools. She recognized 3 different types of fools. The simple ones, which we've covered before, this is the naive person or the inexperienced person. But note here, as compared to earlier in the chapter, this fool, this simple one, wants to continue being simple. Some theologians would compare this simple one to the relativist that believes all things are relative, that believes you have your truth and I have my truth, and there is no such thing as one standard truth. This relativist thinks that all things are relative, that your way is just as accurate as my way. That's the relativist. The simple, the naive, who wants to continue being simple and naive. And then there's the scoffer. This word for scoffer means scorcher, actually. And it's someone who breathes out fire. So this fool, who is a scoffer, breathes out fire. They come into the room and seek destruction. They seek division. And they're destroying everyone in the room with the fire that they breathe out. Reminds me of Bowser on Super Mario Brothers, breathing out that fire, and you're in the castle running to go save the princess, and you got to dodge that fire all the time. That's the scoffer, right? The scorcher who comes in, seeks destruction, breathing out fire. And then the fool, the very last one, the fool is the know-it-all here. So we've already covered this fool as well, but this is the know-it-all. You know the person. You give them some advice. Oh, I know. You tell them something, and they say, oh, I know. Oh, I know. Hey, did you ever consider, oh, I know. Hey, but did you ever think about, oh, I know. Now, when you're driving down the street, you should, oh, I know. This know-it-all, the person that is constantly telling you, I know, is a fool. Now, it's easy for us to look at these three and think, yep, those are three are foolish. Glad I'm not them. But how often have you remained naive and wanted to continue to be inexperienced? Or how often have you said, oh, I know. Oh, I know. Or how often have you walked into the room scorching fire, ready to destroy those in the room? Oh, I know. I know. And something else we need to look at with these three fools is they don't just tolerate their foolishness, but they delight in their foolishness. The simple one loves being simple. The scoffer delights in their scoffing. And the fool hates knowledge. Although they say, I know, I know, I know, really with every time they say, I know, they're saying, I don't want you to teach me. I don't like to learn. That's what the know-it-all is really saying. So these fools delight in being foolish. So how long will you delight in being foolish? Then she says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And what we need to notice here is that she says, if you turn. So this is a universal call. Everyone can answer it. And if you answer, wisdom will pour out her spirit into you, meaning you can have wisdom. You don't have to be a fool. You can live with wisdom. You can live like a wise person, but you have to do something. You can't be passive in your life. You have to turn. It's your decision to turn towards wisdom, or you can continue on the path of foolishness. And then she gives us a disclaimer. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, and you can see, you can kind of picture, we've all been to like an event where there's a street preacher outside and everybody is ignoring that street preacher. This is wisdom here. She's preaching, she's shouting, she's trying to get attention, and what do you see? You just see everybody walking by. They're not going to turn towards her. They are not, even though she's outstretched her hand, they're refusing to listen, they're not heeding, they're ignoring. And because of this, because of all of this ignoring, the fool will feel calamity. She continues, I will laugh at your calamity. Sounds harsh. Wisdom is going to laugh at the fool's calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Ouch. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, wisdom will be laughing. Wisdom is mocking folly here. And really, what's going on, it's not that she's so harsh, but she's told them over and over again, why would you do that? I've shown you the right way to do things. I've shown you the right way to live. Why do you continue to ignore me? Why do you continue to do the things that you do? You can see it's like wisdom is banging her head on a brick wall thinking, oh, why? And I just can't help but think of mothers and their children right now. And cleaning the house. How often, moms, are you like, children, why can't you clean up this room? I've walked past this toy 500 times and it's still here. And every time I like, clean up your room, clean up this toy, clean up this toy. And then what? Finally, mom loses it, and what's she do? She throws that toy away. Jen, have you ever thrown a toy away? No, never, right? Oh, yeah. And that's what wisdom's doing here. She's throwing the toys away, saying, I've told you a million times to clean up this toy. Clearly you don't care about this toy, so I'm throwing it away. That's what wisdom is doing here. And then she goes on, then they will call upon me. When this disaster strikes, that's when the fool is going to call.
When disaster strikes, when it comes like, when calamity comes like a whirlwind, that's when the fool will say, "Where is wisdom? I need some wisdom. I need some help." Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroy them. And this is brutal. And it's like, why? But they're turning towards you now, wisdom. Why won't you start to give them wisdom? And really the point that's going on here is there are consequences to your decision. There are consequences for your actions. And what wisdom here is saying is you cannot get out of the consequence now. You've made your decision, you've lived foolishly, and yes, you can still have God's grace, but there will still be consequences that come, and you can't get out of them by turning towards wisdom when they hit you. You're still going to have to live through it. You cannot escape the consequences of ignoring wisdom. It reminds me of my sister was just out visiting, and she was telling me the story of her friend who goes to church with her. And she, before she came to know Christ, she was addicted to drugs. She was living a foolish life. She was living in control by her addiction. And she had child after child after child, and each child was taken away. DCS came in, took the children, because she was an unfit mother. Well, after recognizing her foolishness, after recognizing her rebellion against God, after recognizing that there was nothing she could do to beat her addiction, that because of her addiction and because of her rebellion against God, she deserved death. She put her faith and trust in Christ. And when she did that, God changed her heart. And what she did was what the Holy Spirit did in her heart was free her from her addiction. And she lived a clean life. She was no longer in addiction. And she lived that way for several years. And then she was like, "Look, I'm a clean person. I should be able to see my kids now." And so she got in contact with DCS, and she found the adoptive parents, and she called the adoptive parents, and she was so excited because she's living this clean life, and now she can see her children. And the parents said, "No. You're clean now, but how long? We don't want to inflict that much pain on our children again." This woman was crushed. There are consequences for our actions. And there are sometimes consequences that you can't undo. And that's what Lady Wisdom is doing here right now. She is speaking with intensity to try and wake people up to turn from their foolishness to wisdom before it's too late. That's what she's doing here. It's like she's trying to shake the fool and saying, "Wake up, wake up. You're making some foolish decision and you're going to have consequences that you're going to hate, and I don't want you to go through that, so please just turn to me before it's too late." That's what Lady Wisdom is doing with intensity, because she cares and she doesn't want us to be fools. Jen and I have just learned, actually, that we've got a couple foster kids, and we're learning that with some of the case workers want to be encouraging. And so, you know, we're going through this thing where a parent has lost their children, and the case workers think that if they can just be encouraging enough, if they can just be the cheerleader on the sideline, giving that biological parent enough encouragement and say, "You're doing great, you're doing fabulous," then they'll start to actually do fabulous. They'll start to do great, and they won't lose their kids. But there are some other case workers with a different strategy, and that different strategy goes like this. "Listen, you're really messed up. You're gonna lose your kids. Here are the steps to take so that you don't lose your kids permanently, and if you don't take these steps, you're going to lose your kids forever. The DCS with that kind of tough attitude that says, look, here's the reality. They see parents more motivated to move. The DCS workers that just want to be the cheerleader, they see parents not realizing the reality of the situation that they're going to lose their kids forever. Lady Wisdom is the former DCS agent, shaking us, saying, look, there are consequences. You don't want to live with these consequences. They're going to be horrible. Please turn towards wisdom now. And she finishes this section off with a contrasting conjunction, but. Let's read 32 again. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. The end result of foolishness is death. The end result of foolishness is death. It's important that we understand that. Lady Wisdom would do us no service by cheering us on saying, well, you're going to do great. Keep trying harder in your foolishness because one day you're going to get it. She's warning us with a stern warning, the end of foolishness is death. You're going to feel pain. It's going to be horrible. Turn. And then she gives us that contrasting conjunction, but. You don't have to feel that death. You don't have to walk that line. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure. The word secure here means free from anxiety and confidence in life. So you can have confidence in life. You don't have to be anxious. So not only will you dwell with security, not only will you dwell with confidence in life, but you will also be at ease. The word ease here means a restful state. So you can have confidence in life and you can have a restful state in life and without dread of disaster. You don't have to fear the disaster. Now, it's important to note that what wisdom is not saying is that disaster will never strike. What wisdom is not saying is that you will never feel pain. If you just listen to the Proverbs, if you just listen to wisdom, you'll never feel pain in your life. That's not what wisdom is saying here. What wisdom is saying is that even when the calamity comes like a whirlwind, even when the hurricane hits, you can still have confidence in life, you can still be in a restful state, and you can still not dread disaster because you have lived with wisdom. And if we jump all the way back to verse 29, we'll see why. Because we chose the fear of the Lord. The fool did not choose the fear of the Lord. The wise, it all begins with the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord means recognizing that there is a creator. And we are the creation. And when we recognize that, it doesn't matter what the world throws at us. We can still trust Him. When the hurricane hits, when the loved ones die, when life doesn't seem like it should be, when the economy collapses, when the country goes into civil war, when all is chaos around, we can still trust in our Creator. And that trust gives us confidence in life. That trust, even in the midst of the hurricane, can give us a restful state. And we don't have to dread the disaster. That's what turning towards Lady Wisdom will give us. But it starts with the fear of the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you've given us your word, Lord, that we can have confidence in it. And that we don't have to be stuck in our foolishness. We don't have to be trapped. We don't have to delight in being naive and simple. We don't have to delight in torching the place. We don't have to be know-it-alls. But we can turn towards you. And as we do, you give us comfort. In your holy name we pray. Amen.